in Gaming, Austria for 4 months. And you can travel every weekend, and they also give you like 5-day breaks and 10-day breaks. And so me and my friends, me and about 8 other girls, decided to go to France and then Spain for our 10-day break. And we went to Lourdes, and we were leaving Lourdes to go to the train station to get to Spain. And have any of you guys ever done something where you felt really dumb in front of a large crowd of people? Because that's my life. That's just in a nutshell. That's me. So anyways, we were walking up, and I had my big, you pack for the whole like 10 days. You got this big backpack you have to carry with you everywhere. And I'm walking up this hill, like just ready to go to this train station. And I gracefully trip over my own foot and fall forwards up a hill. And I didn't know that was possible, but I'm here to tell you that it is. I'm living proof. And so I fall, and before I get up, I look up and I see my roommate and one of my friends, and she's taking pictures of like the whole thing. And I was like, my first thought wasn't like, this hurts, like, did I break a bone? I should probably get up. It was, how were her reflexes faster than mine that she whipped out a phone? But I couldn't catch myself falling forwards up a hill. And so that was pretty embarrassing. And so I'm like, dust myself off, continue on. We get to the train station, and we don't know where our next train connection is. And so we walk up to the clerk, and there's like a language barrier. We're trying to figure out what she's saying. And we finally understand that she says there's like footprints on the ground. Just follow those, and they'll bring you to your train. And so there's about 8 of us all in a line, like little lemmings, all walking like this to get to our train. And then we like look back and realize like a straight line was probably faster and made more sense. But anyways, I get on the train, not my friends, and the doors start to close. And instantly I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, I'm in a foreign country. Like, phones don't work over there. You have nothing. And I'm like, I don't want to be alone in Spain. Like, this is not happening. So my first reaction, which I think is probably normal, or at least for me it was to grab both sides of the doors of the train and hold them open. Because that made sense in my mind, because I think I thought I was the Hulk or something. Yeah, and so I'm sitting there, and one of my friends does get on. But then the doors close, and we're like, okay, like it's awesome that you're on, but there's still 6 of us out there. And then I like step back, and I look to my left, and I see this woman in front of the other doors, and she goes and presses this button in the middle of the door. And I bet you guys can guess at this point what that button does. And it opens the doors. And so I'm realizing that I'm trying to pry these doors open when there's like a button in the middle that you can just press. And at this point, I look around and realize that there's a whole train of people that were watching me as I was doing this. And I was like, yep, I definitely looked insane. But it's okay. Humility is a good thing. And so I tell you this story not to prove how humiliating and clumsy I can be in front of large groups of people. Hopefully that doesn't happen today. But because that's how I am in my relationship with God. In this strange way, I don't believe that God is going to take care of me, that he's not going to fail me. And so I allow fear to be the thing that guides me. And so I try to pry those doors open because I'm like, oh no, he's not going to be there to do it for me. I need to figure this out. I need to be the one that controls what's happening. Because what if he's not there? Am I going to fall? Am I going to fail? What's going to happen to me? So I try to force this. So during my time at Franciscan, I started to get into music. And I'd always loved singing and all of that stuff, but I never did any music for the church or any of that. So I started doing music ministry. And for me, this was the way that God pursued my heart. I was born and raised Catholic, went to church, loved God, you know, all of those great things. But I didn't know what it was to allow God to know your heart and to have a relationship with him and what that looked like when you put work into it. Because as we know, that's how relationships go. It's a two-way street. And so through music, God started to pursue my heart, started to soften me and to show me who he was and who I was in relation to him. And I started to feel this call, it's what I thought it was, to pursue music. And I explain, because I didn't know like what being called meant. I just knew something was going on in my heart. And I explain it as my mind didn't know why or how or what was going to happen, but my soul and my heart just knew that it was something God wanted of me. And I remember sitting in my car one day, and I just prayed this simple prayer, and I was like, okay, God, you want me to do music, you want me to follow this, that's great, that's awesome, but I have no idea what I'm doing. So if you really want me to do this, you have to lead me because I can't do it alone. I don't know how. And to be honest, I didn't think that I was good enough. I didn't think that I had the ability to. And something that came along with this was those lies of not being good enough and not being worthy. And the evil one told me those lies every single day because he knew that if I was able to pursue what this was God was asking of me, I would know God in a new way and eventually be with him. And he wants to stop that. So he would tell me, you're not good enough. You know, he does this to all of us. Why do you think you should be doing this? You're not worthy. You're sinful. There's so many other people who could be doing this. You should just stop now. You shouldn't even do it. And I believed it 110%. I just knew. I was like, yeah, no, it's true. I'm not good enough. I shouldn't be doing this. But I pursued it anyway. Even though I believed it, I didn't allow my actions to reflect it. And every step of the way, God has guided. He opens a door and he opens another door. And so I wrote this song. And the cool thing about this is that I wrote it months prior to having these feelings of not being good enough. And I knew at the time when I was writing it that it was important and there was a reason that I was writing it, but I didn't know why. And then I played it a couple months later when I was struggling with this. And I realized that this was the reason I wrote it was because God wanted me to hear it. So even my own song was something I was able to take from. And so I want to play this for you. And it's really just about those feelings of not being good enough, not feeling worthy, and knowing that you're enough, and knowing that Christ died on the cross for you and for love, and he doesn't ask us to be worthy. He doesn't ask us to be perfect. He just asks us to be who we are. So this one's called Enough. I pray that the piano works.
For love. my sin and shame, you made death fade. You say that I am enough. You say that I am enough. You say that I am enough. You say that I am enough.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. So something that I also had struggled with during my time at Franciscan and through the past few years, I think it's a very common thing, maybe many of you struggle with this as well, is that of anxiety. And for me, it was difficult because I didn't know how to handle it. And I saw it as something internal that I had to deal with. And it kind of does this thing where it has a grip on you. And for me, I explained it as like, fear and anxiety had this grip on my heart, and it was extinguishing who I was and that light that was inside of me. And it feels isolating and lonely, and it's very difficult because a lot of times you don't have control over it. And so it came to the point for me that I needed to come face to face with it and deal with it and handle it and figure out why this was happening and where to go from there. And so I decided to take a semester off from school, which was a difficult decision because I'd been working for 3 years to get into this 4+1 master's program that I wanted to do. And so all the classes, all the hours of studying, everything that I did was to have this GPA and all of these things to be able to get into this program. And I got into it. But in taking time off from school, I had to decline the acceptance, not knowing if I would get back into it or how that would work. But I knew that God was asking me to just take a step back, because everything was just going, and I was so wrapped up in school and in my anxiety, I couldn't continue on in that way. And so I decided to take time off, and during that time, I was able to work on music, and I was able to travel with some other Christian artists as their vocalists, and it was an amazing time getting to go to California and Indianapolis and all of these things, but God was calling me further. He was asking me to go to take another step towards him. And that was in recording an EP, which is a short album. And everybody around me was like, you need to do it, you need to do it. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't think I can do it, because all of those lies kept coming back. Your music's not good enough. There's 100 other people that could be doing what you're doing. Why do you think you need to do it? You shouldn't. You should just not do it. And I was like, yeah, it's true. I shouldn't. And I, again, believed it all, because this is the thing about Satan, guys, is that he wants to stop you in your tracks. And when we have a desire to do something and we feel as though God is calling us forward in that, he wants to do everything he can to stop us, because he knows that if we continue on, we will wreck hell, because there won't be nobody there anymore. Because in our desires and in our call to pursue God, we reach the kingdom of heaven. And that's the last thing that he wants. And so he knew that. And he knew that I was considering this, and I was like thinking I should do it. But in order to do it, I had to do a Kickstarter campaign, which is a crowdfunding. And so I had to come up with a budget, do all these things I didn't know how to do, was faking it until I made it. And the goal was $7,000 in 30 days. And I was like, oh my gosh, how is this going to happen? Like, that's a lot of money to raise in a short amount of time. And like, who's going to donate? Like, why would they donate to me? They don't even know that I sing, you know, all these things. They never even heard my music. But I decided to do it and not allow fear to be the thing that was guiding me. And so I pressed the go live button to launch the Kickstarter, and instantly I was just like filled with fear. And I was like, you idiot. Like, why did you do this? This is not going to work. It's going to fail. You're going to look so dumb. Like, what are people going to think? All of these things. And those thoughts continued for the next 20 days out of the 30 days. And I 100% believed it was going to fail. And it wasn't until about a week before it ended that I finally had peace, because I had this realization. And I said to God, if this is what you want, God, then this is what I want. But if you don't want this, then neither do I. So make it fail if this is not the thing that gets me to you. Because in all reality, the reason I want this is because I have the desire to do it. But this desire in me was put there by you to bring me to you. And so if this is not how you want me to get to you and how you want me to get to your kingdom, then don't let it work. I don't want it to work because I don't want this to be the thing that keeps me from you. Thankfully, it didn't fail. It got funded. The second to last day, we raised almost over $1,600 to finish out the Kickstarter. And he fulfilled his promise to me, and I was for some reason was surprised by that. But I decided to name it Lead Me. And that's what the EP is going to be called. And I chose this not only because that was my initial prayer that day in my car when I was asking God to just lead me into wherever it was he was calling me, but also because I came across this scripture verse, and it's Psalm 61:2. I'm going to read this for you. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And when I came across this, this was my hope. I saw this and I was like, yes, God, hear my cry. In my anxiety, in my doubt, in my fear, lead me to who you are, because you are the rock that is higher than I. And I can do nothing without you. And I'm hurting. And I don't know how to get out of this, and I need you. So it's just this cry of my heart, and that just was instantly, I was like, this is what I need to do. Sometimes when we have these desires within us, we are afraid to go outside of our comfort zone. As humans, we love comfort. I mean, let's be honest. We like to have a nice warm shower, a comfy bed. We love comfort. We don't like to go outside of it. And it's like, here's my circle of comfort. Don't make me step outside of it. I'm going to stay here. You stay there. I don't want to know what happens if I try to go outside of it. But then I'm reminded of what Pope Benedict XVI says when he says, this world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. And this strikes me because every single one of us have something inside of us that is calling us forward. It propels us to go outside of ourselves. And a lot of time that's the desire for love or the desire for truth or whatever those things are. And ultimately, all of those things are God. God is truth. He is love. But we don't often want to take that step forward to see where it brings us because we're afraid of what might happen. We're afraid of the variables and the failure that could possibly come along with it. And we see these obstacles, we conjure up these obstacles, and we're like, well, this could happen and that could happen. So I'm just going to try and figure out how to not let that happen, and then I'll control it, and I won't allow God to work because I don't want him to, because I want to know what's going to happen and I want to be set in that. But the thing about these obstacles is that they don't exist in the mind of God, because his mind is so far beyond what we understand that they don't exist. And even if they do come along, he helps us through them. He knows how to overcome them. And the thing about these obstacles also is that they're like the boogeyman, which may sound funny, but how many of you have watched VeggieTales before? Yes. I think the rule of thumb that we've all taken from VeggieTales is that God is bigger than the boogeyman. And this is the truth. In all reality, we think it's funny, and we're like, oh yeah, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's watching out for you and me. But really, that's what it is. Those are the obstacles that we come up with. But the key is to take all of those things, all those struggles, those fears, worries, anxieties, those hurt parts within us, those wounded things that have happened to us, and to surrender them over to God. Because he doesn't ask us to do it alone. He is the vine and we are the branches, and without him, we can do nothing. We need him. And he doesn't ask us to just like, okay, yep, here's your path. You figure it out. Go ahead, you got it. He's like, no, surrender it to me. Every single day of every single moment, surrender it. Because I know for me, I try to look to the future. I'm like, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? What could happen in my future? I need to figure it out. But we're called to, in the present moment, live in this moment and allow the Spirit to guide us every single moment, because that is full dependency upon God. We can't rely on ourselves. And I don't want to. I know God probably knows a lot more than I do, so I'd rather give it over to him, which can be difficult, but it's choosing that in every single moment to be, okay, I can't do this. I can't control it. Here, it's yours. here, it's yours, I can't do it. Next day, here, it's yours, I can't do it. And in doing so, he leads us. He opens a door, and we walk through it. And he opens another door, we walk through it. And ultimately, it brings us to his heart, brings us to his kingdom, which again is that true desire that's within us. And so I want you to close your eyes and think about something. What is it that you are afraid to surrender to God? Maybe it's a few things. I know for me, it's fear. It's my control, my feelings of being unworthy, not being good enough. And those are the things that keep me from pursuing him, that keep me from following his call. What are those things that we need to surrender to him? And just picture putting it in your hand and raising it up to him. As the small children that we are, giving over those things that we can't deal with, we can't handle because we're too tired. It's too much of a burden. My prayer is that we allow him to work in all of those places of our hearts, in the corners that we don't want him to see, that we don't want him to be there. Is that without hesitation, we give him free rein to be and reside within us. Because we do not become saints by being perfect, by perfecting ourselves, and then presenting ourselves to God. We become saints by going to him in our brokenness and saying, Father, mend me. I'm broken and I'm hurting and I need you. Here, take this burden of mine. Take this woundedness. I need you. And so I wrote this song called Surrendering. And I want to play it for you. And as I play it, I just want you to think about what that thing is that you need to surrender. Because he's just waiting for you to give it to him.
Jesus, you draw me near. Don't listen to fear.
I want to talk about three prominent people, all people who were very holy and very close to God, but who weren't without their struggles and their trials. And the first one I want to talk about is Moses. Moses was told by God to speak to a rock and a river would flow from it. And in his doubt, he struck the rock with his rod. And I want to share that verse with you. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff and assemble the community, you and Aaron, your brother. And in their presence, command the rock to yield its waters. Thereby you will bring forth water from the rock for them and supply the community and their livestock with water." So Moses took the staff from its place before the Lord as he was ordered. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly in front of the rock, where he said to them, "Just listen, you rebels. Are we to produce water for you out of this rock?" Then raising his hand, Moses struck the rock twice with his staff, and water came out in abundance, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not have confidence in me to acknowledge my holiness before the Israelites, therefore you shall not lead this assembly into the land I have given them." And Moses, in his doubt and in his pride, thought he knew what was best. And I am like Moses. I do this all the time. God's like, "Speak to this rock. A river's going to flow from it." And I'm like, "How about I hit it with a stick twice instead and see if that works? And then if it doesn't, then I'll try it your way. How about that?" And of course, that's not what God's asking us. He's asking us to have faith and to see that he's the river of life and that our hearts are like this rock, this stone. He just wants to flow from it. But we don't have the eyes to see that and nor the faith to believe it. And I want to play this song for you. It's by Audrey Assad, so it's not my song. So it's going to be better than anything else I do today. But and it just talks about this. It's how God is the river of life and he's flowing from us. But our hearts of stone don't recognize him. We don't recognize who he is and what he's doing. I just want to play this one for you.
The ocean, you call me out into the tide, so deep, so wide. You are the fountain, you are the spring that won't run dry. You don't run dry. The ocean, you call me out into the tide, so deep, so wide. You are the fountain. You are the spring that won't run dry. You don't run dry. Open my eyes to see the river in the rock. Spirit of life, your living water rising up. You are the ocean. You call me out into the tide. So deep, so wide. You are the fountain. You are the spring that won't run dry. You don't run dry. Open my eyes to see the river in the rock. Spirit of the life, your living water rising up. Open my eyes to see the river in the rock. Spirit of the life, your living water rising
up. So the next person I want to talk about is Saint Mother Teresa, which I'm sure everybody knows who she is. She was a very faithful woman of God. She recklessly followed him and gave over her whole life to, you know, clothing the naked and being there for the sick and the dying and feeding the hungry and just completely giving all that she was in the most selfless way to all of those people who had nobody. And we know the story, but something that not everybody knows about her, maybe you do, is that she struggled with years and years and years of spiritual loneliness. She didn't feel God's presence for most of her life. She didn't feel the nearness to him, but she did not stop in her pursuit of him. And she didn't stop helping these people because she couldn't feel him, because that's not what this is. You know, this is not a faith of feelings. Most often, you don't feel God, and it's amazing when we're able to feel him, and I'm blessed that I get that, and we're blessed that we have this opportunity, but that's not what it is. And then we need to know that when the feelings aren't there, he remains, and his love remains. And not even a cross could kill what he did. Not even the crucifixion could get rid of the love that he had for us. And just because we don't feel it doesn't mean it's not there and it's not true. I'm going to come back to her in a moment, but first I want to go and talk about St. Thomas, the infamous Doubting Thomas. Thomas is in the upper room, and he was told Christ had risen from the dead. And in his doubt, he said he wouldn't believe until he touched the wounds in Christ's side and in his hands. And Christ allowed him to do this. And although my name is not Thomas, I am like Thomas. Again, I'm always like these doubting people. I don't know why that always happens, but I am. And I'm just thankful that I didn't get stuck with the nickname of Doubting Molly. He doubted once, and everyone was like, Doubting Thomas. I'm like, dang it, that would stink. You make one mistake. And so I was sitting there in my room one day, and I was thinking about this. And I was like, okay, wait. He had all these doubts, but yet God was able to confirm those in him and be like, yes, feel the wounds in my side and in my hand and know that I'm real, know that I'm here. And I was like, I don't get to do that. You know, I have doubts, not in that he's real, but that his promise endures and that he's not going to fail me and all of these things. Like, I want to touch the wounds in his side and his hand. I want to know. How come I don't get that? And I just had this thought. I was like, Thomas, when you touched the wounds in his side, like, did you finally see the light? Did everything click? Did you ever doubt again? Were your fears just gone from that? And then I was reminded right after that, and the next thought was, blessed are those who believe without their sight. Blessed are those who believe without their sight, because God, yes, Thomas was allowed to touch the wounds in his side and his hand, but he calls us to more. He calls us to have blind faith, even when we don't have the feelings that he is there, even when we are doubting because of things that we're going through, because of wounds, because of struggles and anxieties and doubts and all of these things, he asks us to continue on and do what Mother Teresa did, and to serve him and to love him and to follow him with all that we are. So I wrote this song, and it kind of compares St. Mother Teresa and Thomas in the difference of their faith and how Mother Teresa was able to continue. And then I just talk about how blessed are those who believe without their sight. So I want to play this for you. And this one is not going to be on my EP, so it's an exclusive performance. So this is Thomas.
Oh, Thomas, did you finally see the light? Oh, Thomas, did his wounds convince your mind? When you touched his hands and felt his side, was everything made right? Did your doubts turn to truth? Did your fear consume you? 'Cause I don't have his hands to touch and his side to feel, but I still want to know he's real. Blessed are the ones who believe without their sight. God, through this doubt, I'll fight. Oh, Teresa, were you scared he'd left your side? And oh, Teresa, did the loneliness leave you dry? Only emptiness was felt inside, still you gave your whole life. In doubt you found truth, no fear was shown in you. 'Cause I don't have his hands to touch and his side to feel, but I still want to know he's real. Blessed are the ones who believe without their sight. God, through this doubt, I'll give you my whole life.
Thank you. So something that can come along with our struggles, and a lot with anxiety, or if you struggle with depression or any of those things, is this feeling of loneliness and isolation and feeling as though nobody can help you and nobody understands. And this was my experience as well. But something that is so beautiful about God is that he never asks us to do it alone. He never asks us to do it alone. And he came down from the heavens to become man and to suffer. And in doing so, he knew every form of suffering. He knew physical pain because he died on the crucifix, on that cross, in the most horrific pain that anybody could endure. He knew what it felt like to be betrayed when Judas betrayed him with a kiss. He knew what it felt like to be lonely and to have anxiety and worry when he was in the garden and his friends fell asleep on him. And he was praying so hard that he was bleeding. And in all of those moments, he thought of you. In every single one of those moments, you were enough. And when we go through those things that are difficult, or those we see those obstacles and we have those fears that seem bigger than anything that we can overcome, I'm reminded of this, is that he asks us to run to him and to rest in him and to be with him and to abide with him. And he did this not so that he knows what it's like to feel human suffering, but so that we know that he knows. And that when we run to him, we know we are going to a God who understands and not one who is just there to tell us to keep going. He's there to tell us that he knows and he understands. And he just wants us to rest with him and to abide with him. And it's so simple, but we forget it. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Seek him and you shall find. Abide with him and you will find rest and you won't be alone. I want to read this verse for you, John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. We have this something inside of us that's propelling us forward. We have these desires and fear stops us and we listen to fear. We follow it more than we follow him. We trust in it more than we trust in him. But we can't do anything unless we abide in him because he is the vine and we are the branch. And we cannot bear fruit without him. So all of those things that we want to do, I know every single one of you has a desire in your life to pursue a career or to find truth, to know love. All of those things are found in him. And without him, you can't pursue them to the fullest. And that greatness that each one of you have and you have the potential to reach, because it is in varying forms, but it's in every single one of you, is fulfilled and comes to fruition through him. And he doesn't ask you to do it alone. He asks you to be with him. And so this song is going to be on my EP, and it's called Abide. And I wrote it because I simply saw that verse, abide in me. And again, and it was during that time of just so much burden and feeling the weight on my shoulders and not feeling like I could do it alone. And I just saw abide in me. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the key. That's it. He just wants me to be with him. He just wants me to rest with him. And that's all that it is. And so I wrote this from the perspective of God speaking to us. Him just asking us to be with him and to rest with him. And so if any of you are there, you're at that point where you're just like, I can't do this alone. God, it's too much. There's so much happening in my life and it's too much. Just remember you're not alone and that he's just asking you to be with him.
Didn't call you to be alone.
I kind of want to conclude with this thought, is that we have a very good father, one who I've come to know and fall in love with, which I didn't think that was even a thing. Even when I was your age, I was like, that's, what do you mean falling in love with God? Like, that's weird. He's God, you know? But my life has never been the same ever since I've decided to pursue this relationship and give my heart to him and to allow him to work in my life. And I wouldn't trade it for the world, because I know what it's like to not have it, and I know what it's like to now have it. And your whole world becomes flipped upside down. You view things differently. You want different things. You pursue different things. You become less about you and more about him and more about others. You become more virtuous and ultimately the person that God's created you to be. And I know every single one of you has that and wants that, whether you realize it or not. And now it's your choice. You know, if you want this, if you have that desire to pursue God and to know him in that way, he's waiting every single moment for that. He just wants you to look back and allow your eyes to meet, and for you to know him and him to know you. And not just a knowing, but a knowing in your heart and in your soul, because that's what it's created for, is this bond with him. And so we have a good father. And the role of a father is to love his child, to protect his child, to not let them fail, not let them fall. And our heavenly father does this in the most perfect way, better than any earthly father could, whether we have a wonderful father who has been there every step of the way, or whether we have had a father that wasn't there, that failed us every time, or just not one that was present in our lives at all. The heavenly father is there and is more perfect than anything we could know. And so if we believe this, if I know this to be true, then I have nothing to fear, because this good father who's perfect and who loves me and who wants to know me isn't going to fail me. And so when I go beyond my comfort and I try to ignore those obstacles, he doesn't fail you. And so I want to say this prayer with you guys real quick. And we're going to end with this. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Take this child of yours and help me increase my faith to the tiniest mustard seed. For I want to move mountains in your name. I want to shine so that they have no choice but to see you and your glory. When I open my mouth to sing your praises, let them hear the songs of the angels. Let it be a glimpse of what entering into your kingdom might be like. Lord, when I doubt, help me to increase my faith. Open my eyes so that I may see the river in the rock. I trust that you love me and that you will my good. Help me to push through times of despair when I cannot feel you near. May I always remember that your love remains in me even when the feelings fade and I'm not alone. You reside with me upon your cross. Amen. Thank you guys.